ahead. If you're following along, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. And I will read just the first several verses, where Paul, in continuing to the Corinthians, writing unto them, says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
Amen.
Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now let me again say that there is such a thing as carnality among those who believe the truth. And the truth is, to some extent, or at least at certain times, each and every one of us has been carnal.
Yes, sir.
No matter how spiritual we are. And that's the way most people view this passage.
Yeah.
That spiritual is a matter of degrees. Here, Paul talks about spiritual as being a state. A fixed condition. A fixed place. Not a set of levels that you can achieve to. Here, Paul's either saying you're either spiritual or you're natural.
Yeah.
One or the other.
That's it.
You're either spiritual or you're natural. But there are some spiritual people who are yet carnal.
Exactly.
Not natural, but carnal. And the problem here is their walk. And Paul defines it as an immaturity.
Yes, sir.
Right? He said, "My brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." He did not say they were not spiritual.
No.
He said, "I couldn't speak unto you that way, but as unto carnal." And then he qualifies it. Mason, he's clear, qualifies it, even as unto babes in Christ. I've fed you with milk. Now, there's nothing wrong with a baby beginning with milk.
Exactly.
But after about 10, 15 years, that baby ought to have moved on to some solid food. Right? The problem with the Corinthians wasn't that they were babes in Christ, it's that they should no longer have been babes in Christ.
Exactly.
Paul should have been able to go on to not other things, because there is nothing other than Jesus Christ. But as he told the Hebrew believers, there are certain things about Christ that I can't tell you because you're hard of hearing. You're immature. And we read that passage, didn't we? So you can turn to that one if you're following along. Hebrews. That's where I basically left off last week. When Paul says in Hebrews chapter 5, he's in speaking of Jesus Christ in verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered." Why? Because they're hard to say? Because the language is difficult? No, that's not so much it. "But of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered." Why? "Seeing ye are dull of hearing."
Exactly.
Now it's not that they had no hearing, but they're dull of hearing.
Exactly.
"For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." Now, and now see, right here is where people can use the sovereignty of God as an excuse. "Well, I'm exactly where God put me."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You are exactly where God put you. But if where God put you and where you are right now, where you and you're not where you ought to be, you had best not be blaming God for it.
Exactly. That's it.
Because the fact is, God has fixed it to where anything that deserves honor and glory, he gets the credit for it.
Yes, sir.
And anything that deserves criticism or rebuke, we get the blame for it.
Yes, sir.
And I know people don't like that, but that's just the way God is.
Exactly.
For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And it's sad to have to go over with people, quit bragging on men.
Yes, sir.
Brag on God.
Exactly.
And somebody says, well, at least that don't happen here. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. I've either directly heard it or I've heard it indirectly. I've heard it stated from others. Boy, I like the way so-and-so preaches. I like him better than I like that one. And I'm not going to use names because it happens everywhere and not just here. Well, I get more out of what so-and-so says than I get out of this one over here.
Oh, yeah.
You best thank God that you got anything out of it.
Exactly.
You best have been thanking God that you understood anything whatsoever. And what we do when we set up another one man and then put down another, and that's what's happening here. It's not these people were just Mason clamoring over Paul. Some were clamoring over Paul and others clamoring over Apollos.
Yeah.
Some were clamoring over this one and some were clamoring over Cephas or Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the phrase I use, some kind of took the high road, you see.
Yeah.
Well, I'm of Christ, you see. I'm of Christ. I'm not a partisan, I'm of Christ. You know, you're just as partisan. That's what it means to be a follower or a disciple, is to be a partisan. Yeah, the point is, when we set up one or put down another, we're putting the credit where credit does not belong.
Exactly.
This man may sow a seed, this man may water, but where does the increase come from?
Exactly.
The increase comes from God Almighty.
Amen.
And let me tell you something, if you or I get anything of the truth of God from any man that stands in a place like this and preaches, it is not because of the ability of that man.
Exactly.
If that's all you've got, you've got nothing.
Exactly. That's
but
it.
Flesh. Now, am I saying you can't get anything from me? No, I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm saying if what you get, you got from me, you got nothing. The Apostle Paul goes so far as to tell the Corinthians, we say these things, we speak these things, but who teaches them? What does he say?
Yeah.
That chapter. Now let me turn back there quickly. 1 Corinthians, right before he gets to this chapter 3, look at what he says, verse 13 of chapter 2. Which things also we speak?
Yeah.
Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which, what? The Holy Ghost teaches. There's a difference between you being taught of me and you being taught through me by the Holy Ghost. There's a big difference. Somebody says, how do I know the difference? I don't know for sure that you will.
Yeah.
To the end.
That's it.
I don't know. There's no way I can give you some set list of proofs. This is how you know what you've been taught came from the Holy Ghost and not from me only. I can't do that. But there are some things that raise red flags. Let me just put it that way. There are some things that raise red flags. But before we go into that, let's go back to this Hebrews. Here's a group of people, and Paul's basically saying the same thing to the Corinthians about this carnality, this fleshliness. And remember, their fleshliness was not that they had become believers and then went back to drinking, that they had become believers and went back to smoking, or that they become believers and they went back to stealing, or they went back to lying. It wasn't of the base, immoral things of life. That has nothing to do with the context. They had begun bragging on men.
Exactly.
And that's carnality. That's fleshliness. That's sin.
Yes, sir.
And believe you, I give you an illustration of it. And as I said, it's happened here. And here's another weird thing. And let me hold my place because I got to remember to come back to Hebrews chapter 5. Because there is a point to be made here. It's not just, well, some people are immature and that's just where they're stuck at. No. Mm-mm. We don't have to feel that way.
Exactly.
We don't have to consider it that way. But first, let me say this. People come into this assembly. And most who come into this assembly, we're familiar with them.
Yeah.
They are family members.
Yeah.
to one degree or another. Now, we have had a few strangers, that is, people that showed up out of the blue. I mean, we've had a couple of them, but most of the people who show up here are strangers that show up, you know. Most of the people who show up here are not strangers to us. They are family members. But when an unbeliever shows up, and if that unbeliever makes the comment, "Boy, I sure like so-and-so's preaching. I didn't get much out of this other person's preaching." You know what we ought to say? "I got a doubt as to whether you got anything out of anybody, what anybody said." Well, so if they walk in here as an unbeliever, and they walk out of here as an unbeliever, then God Almighty has done nothing for them. It doesn't matter who they enjoy, whose preaching they enjoyed more. They ain't got nothing out of anything.
Exactly.
And if they're an unbeliever, they don't have a say-so as to who was preaching the best. Do they? They don't have a say-so. I don't care about their opinion, and I don't care who it is.
Exactly.
If it's one of your family members or my family members after the flesh, well, I sure like old so-and-so. I get something out of their preaching. Where are they?
Yeah.
I've had that said about me. I sure like Walter's preaching. Where are they at?
Exactly. Not here.
They evidently ain't getting too much out of it.
Exactly.
Huh? And do I feel bad because of that? Yeah, in two or three different ways. Does that hurt my feelings? Yeah, it does hurt my feelings. But the truth is, David, I know it takes God to give the increase.
That's right.
And when you get something out of something, usually you will commit yourself, Joe, to that something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why does most of us go to our jobs? Is it because we love them? No, it's because we get something out of them.
Exactly.
You get that paycheck. You get those benefits. Now let's move on. Yes, immaturity is not in and of itself carnality, but it does tend toward carnality. Being immature is not a safe place to be.
It's true.
Because, and we'll, God willing, we'll look at it. You remember what the Apostle Paul said. "And be no more children."
Yes, sir.
"Tossed to and fro." Why? Because the immature are more likely to be tossed to and fro.
Yes, sir.
It's not that those who are mature cannot fall. Or cannot stumble, Mason, but the immature are more likely to be prone to be led away with the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Exactly.
And I'll say that for two reasons. One, if you're here and you're immature in Christ, you best pay heed to who you listen to. And if you begin to listen to somebody and they even sound like they're starting to lie about the truth of God, it's best to leave them alone.
Yes, sir.
Leave them alone. Look at what Paul says. For, he goes on, verse 13 of Hebrews 5, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful."
Yes.
Now, who do you believe? Your own sensibilities about this subject or the apostle being moved to write by the Spirit of God?
Exactly.
What does he say? "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness." Why? For he's a babe.
Amen.
Now that's, and I mean in a positive way, that's a natural thing.
Yeah.
If you're a babe.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you're 4, 5, 6 years old, that ain't a natural thing. It's not even natural in nature, and it's not even natural spiritually speaking.
Exactly.
But how do I grow? Now, most of us have to be careful, because being taught what we've been taught, we usually say this: "All right, God's sovereign. When I grow, I'll grow. When I mature, I'll mature. God's in control anyway, right?" Now, is that the way we really believe? No, that's the way we like to conduct ourselves sometimes, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Now what does Paul say? "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those," now here's the instruction, "who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Amen.
It's the old phrase. There's a phrase, use it or lose it.
Yes, sir.
And here more appropriately is use it or you won't have it.
Exactly.
Now let me be mean. I've been here for a lot of years. And I'm preaching for and to us. Yeah. Not out yonder.
Yeah.
To all these people out yonder. If God's pleased to use one of these tapes for His honor and glory out yonder somewhere, that's fine. But my main purpose is for the people who gather here in this place.
Exactly.
And the only way, only reason why you and I have grown, if we have grown in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is because we talk about it. We, by reason of use, have our spiritual senses. And there are spiritual senses.
Yes, sir.
Just like there are natural senses. And we have these senses. These senses grow. Why? Because we're using them. We talk about Christ. Now, we can sit around all day and talk about our illnesses. And it's sad when that's all you hear from some people is how sick they are, how bad. It's sad when you hear sometimes, some people can talk. I'm not talking about here. I'm not saying necessarily here, but I'm saying we're not above this even here. You got some people, all they talk about is work, the good part or the bad part. Work. Now, is that to say we never talk about these things?
No.
But if that's all you talk about, what are you going to learn about? That and that alone. But if you sit around and talk about Christ, and you sit around and talk about Christ's Word, and you sit around and talk about what God Almighty has done in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you will grow.
Yes, sir.
You can't help but grow.
Exactly.
You see? But when you turn inward and all you think about is self, all you think about is flesh, whether it's good things or bad, your job's not a bad thing. You best thank God for it.
Yes, sir.
And best be glad you got it. Your illnesses are a good thing. Huh? It says all things work together for good. Our difficulties, David, are good things, as they are all fit together in the sovereign purpose of God. And all of these things matter. But where, the point is, where is God in the conversation?
Yeah.
When I talk about my job, God should be in the midst of that conversation. Mm-hmm. Paul is quite clear, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I mentioned to Ralph Dale there a few weeks ago when he came up. I said, it's one thing I don't worry about at chapel. I said, that didn't mean I just ask anybody to come. Well, I don't. But I don't sit there and worry, what if somebody says something wrong when they're standing there in that place? I don't sit around and worry about that, Mason. You know why? Because I believe this is a mature group of believers. But the only reason is because the person and work of Jesus Christ is not only the central theme, but He is the central subject of our theme. You see, you can't sit around with a bunch of true believers for very long at all that the subject of Jesus Christ don't come up. And I say this not to boast in us, but simply using that as example. Penny and I don't know that we've ever spent any day that we've talked. I'm not saying there's not days we haven't talked, but any day that we've talked, somehow the subject of God and His grace comes up. When we talk about ourselves, our jobs, our family members, somehow God Almighty interjects Himself into the conversation.
Yes, sir.
And that's how we grow. Yeah. That's how we learn. And the truth is, I'm learning right along with you.
Exactly.
I'm not up here the teacher. I'm up here the speaker.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is the teacher.
Amen.
That's it. And that's what Paul's clearing out. We speak these words, but the Holy Ghost teaches them. Mm-hmm. That's the trouble. If all you have is something that, but all you have, what you know, what you understand, and I'm not saying you're lost because of this. I'm simply saying this. If what you know is because Earl taught you this, or Joe taught you this, or Walter taught you this, you got nothing.
That's it.
What you have is nothing. It's that kind of plant that when the hard heat of persecution comes down on it, it'll wither up and it'll die.
Yep.
But if what you know is established by the Spirit of God Almighty, it'll withstand the storm.
Yes, sir.
It'll take the heat because it's got root in it.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not here to criticize those who've been in the way but a short time, because those of us who've been in the way for a long time still find out how faulty and fleshly and carnal we are.
Exactly.
I'm not here to look down on you any more than I'm here to tell you, you got to look up to me. Just like Henry Mahan said one time, then Earl also reiterated, because it's not just a, you know, Henry talked about, you know, it's one worm saying to another worm.
Exactly.
And then Earl added to that what the scripture even goes on to say is one maggot saying to another maggot.
Exactly.
And not just, we're not good fish bait.
Exactly.
We're maggots.
Yeah.
Red maggots, I think it calls us. Mm-hmm. We're red worms. We're red maggots. It's one maggot saying to another maggot. At least I'm not as low in the pile as you are.
Exactly.
You know?
That's it.
I mean, which is the worst, to be on the skin eating the flesh or the guts eating the flesh? Doesn't matter. If you're a maggot, you're a maggot, David.
Exactly.
Right? I'm not talking about us. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. Our comparison is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that's a whole lot taller standard than me or you.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, it's the standard.
Yes.
And if I come short of that standard, and I'm not talking about we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have. But I'm talking about even in a more relevant way to just our everyday actions in life. If I'm coming up short of where this word says I should be, it's because I'm not exercising my senses.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've become lazy. Because I've turned and just said, well, if it happens, it's going to happen. Is that the way God tells us to approach His Son? No, He says, come unto me.
Yes, sir.
Come. He says to do something.
That's right.
Now, does that frighten me to say that to you? Do I say that, then I'm afraid you're going to turn to free will Arminianism? Well, if you could be turned that easy, you might as well go on.
Exactly. That's right. That's it.
And that's just a fact.
Yep.
He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you.
Yes, sir.
Mason, there are things God's people do.
Yeah.
And why do they do it? Because God's laid hold of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if God says, exercise your senses, why don't we do that?
Exactly.
Because we're lazy.
Yep.
There'll only be two reasons. One, we think we got something that we don't have.
Yeah.
But we're satisfied with what we got.
Yeah.
Or at least what we think we got.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or we have something, but we don't realize the magnitude of what we got.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize how more stable it could be. Now, I didn't say better.
Yeah.
In the sense of it, I'm not talking about getting better and I'll get to where I won't sin anymore. No, it just has you're able to discern between good and evil. And that's not talking about sins. That's talking about the truth of the Word of God.
Yeah.
The passage, I partially quoted it to you. Ephesians 4, and this is not just me picking out passages here and there that kind of seem to have the same few words. Paul's talking about the same thing here.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And he adds that we henceforth be no more what?
Children.
And the word there is one of the lowest, not on a degree of scales, but in the sense of what it entails. It's one of the lowest words used. It's translated children. It means an infant.
Yeah.
Literally, it would be non-speaking.
Yeah.
You haven't even advanced to where you can use words yet. Mm-hmm. Okay? The baby. Yeah. That's what it's talking about. An infant. That you be no longer infants, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Well, if I'm one of God, nothing like that will happen to me. Don't you fool yourself. The Apostle Paul talked about men who would come into the assemblies, to some assemblies. One was Hymenaeus, one was Philetus. And they, speaking about the resurrection being past already, had overthrew the faith of some. You don't want to be there.
Exactly.
And I don't want to be there. But some of God's people have been there.
Yeah.
And somebody says, well, they're not really saved. That's not what the book says. That's where the Apostle Paul goes on to say, one thing stands sure, this foundation stands sure, God knows them that are his.
Amen.
And let everyone that names the name of Christ, what does he say? Depart from iniquity.
Amen.
No, we don't just sit back and say, well, when it happens, it happens.
Right.
Because the fact is, it'll happen.
Oh, yeah.
But it won't happen when you're sitting there with your arms crossed.
Yeah.
It happens when God Almighty, through his Spirit, moves an individual to become concerned and committed to learning about the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you, when your eyes, the eye of faith, the eyes of faith, the eye of faith, when that eye of faith is centered on Jesus Christ, it makes it a whole lot harder to brag on men. I'm not saying you never will. I'm not saying we'll never slip up. I'm not saying we'll never forget. But when you're looking at Christ, David, it's a whole lot easier not to be bragging on Walter Pendleton or Joe Galusik or Earl Cochran or this person or that person. You see, it is not a man's technique when he preaches, although his technique may improve. And it's not a man's technique. It's not a man's knowledge. Although I pray God that if a man stands here and preaching, his knowledge is increasing to some degree as time goes on, right?
Yeah.
Scripture says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not in a man's technique. It's not in a man's knowledge. It's not in a man's doctrinal improvements or as his doctrine expands. You see, the truth is, I'm growing right along with you. It's not I'm up here and God's given me all this, and therefore I'm sharing with you what God's given me. We learn from one another.
Yes, sir.
Because it's not always me standing. Now, it's always me or Joe standing here, or some other man standing in this place publicly. But when we quit and we sit down and we begin to eat together, what happens? We all talk. We all discuss these things. And if you're not, then you're the one losing out.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. But let me tell you something. When you care about something, what do? You love it.
Yep.
You spend time with it.
Yep.
You spend money on it.
Yes, sir.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And that's why some people don't spend time with God's Word. That's why they don't love God's Word. That's why they wouldn't spend a dime on God's Word. Have you ever wondered why the Scripture puts it this way, that we're to offer the sacrifice of praise with our lips? It calls it a sacrifice. What's so hard about saying words? Because the higher we exalt God where He belongs, where He is, the higher we exalt God, what do we have to do with us? Down. Down. That's the sacrifice. Down. Down, down. The higher we extol God, the more we must criticize ourselves. Huh?
Yes,
that's why it's a sacrifice. We have to give up on ourselves. No more boasting in self. I'm not going to boast in you either, Joe. But I have. I have. You see, the point is this. We are to thank God for those that God has sent the gospel to us through. But we are to give all the glory and the honor to God.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
There is nothing wrong with being glad that the preacher's technique has improved. God may use that to help you along as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But unless it's God that's doing it, we're gaining nothing.
Exactly.
Remember what knowledge does.
Yeah.
In and of itself, what does knowledge do? You remember what Paul says? It puffs up.
Yes, sir.
Knowledge, David, could be a hindrance to other, get in trouble here, other more important things, Mason,
yeah,
called love. I mean, we've got people that believe in free sovereign grace that believe if you don't believe like I do, you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
We got some of them that even go so far as say you can't be an Arminian and be saved. So then God can't save Arminians. And when God does save an Arminian, what does he automatically turn into? A what?
Exactly.
What does he turn into?
What?
How mature is that person when God first saves them?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. I was Arminian, and by nature I'm still Arminian.
Yeah.
And Mason, I still have Arminian thoughts sometimes. Now, are those thoughts fleshly? Are they carnal? Yes, but so can Calvinistic thoughts be carnal and of the flesh as well.
Yes, sir.
You see, it's not a matter of what you know. It's a matter of what you know, who taught it to you.
Yeah.
A person may know very little, but if God taught them that, then they know a whole lot more than the person who knows a lot because Walter taught them.
Exactly.
Hmm? You may have a person that believes and all they know much is much more than Jesus Christ was virgin born and died for sinners. But if God Almighty taught them that, and yet you can quote every aspect of Calvinism, but a Calvinist taught you that, that first person has more than you do.
That's it.
Because it's not how much you know, it's who taught you what you know.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know the difference? I don't know. I can't give you a list and say, here, I can prove it. Here's how you got it. But I'll tell you, one of the warning signs is what? And it's a warning. Am I lost? No, it's not even that. But in fact, that it's carnal. You start bragging on men. And oftentimes we brag on some people by not bragging on the person, but by putting somebody else down. Well, I don't like the way that preacher preaches. Well, so what? Does that man speak the truth? Well, but he messes up. He said this, and he said... Every man does that if you've listened to him long enough. There's not a one of us that stands in a place like this that don't make mistakes. Some of them, Mason, we don't mean to. It's just we didn't understand. We didn't see clearly to start with. Others, I think men mean to. I think they mean to. The point is this. It's not a man's technique. It's not a man's knowledge. It's not how great a doctrine he understands. His message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Is that the message of salvation?
Yeah.
Is that His message of justification? Is that His message of redemption? Is that His message of forgiveness? Is that His message of good works? It's all centralized around Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, when Paul was first among these Christians, he says, you're made of flesh. And we're all made of flesh. You know?
Yeah.
You think about it. Paul was frightened to go to Corinth.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that it took God giving him a vision in the night saying, don't be afraid. No one will harm you in this city.
Yeah.
Because I have much people there. And Paul went to that place, according to Acts, I believe it's chapter 18, and he preached for a year and a half.
Yeah.
A year and a half of teaching from the Apostle Paul.
Yes, sir.
Person ought to know a few things after that, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think?
You
think a person ought to quit bragging on, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. Or I'm of Christ.
Yeah.
As though somehow they were better than the others. You know? When Paul was first among them, he said, you were fleshly. You're made of flesh. But sadly, he says, you're still fleshly. You're still fleshly. I'm having to feed you milk. I'm not able to feed you meat. There are things about Christ I would love to go into with you, but you're not able to bear it. You can't handle it. Now the problem is for me as a preacher, when I stand up here and preach, I often don't get the fact or don't understand the fact that sometimes people have not a faint idea what I'm talking about. Okay? And it's not because of anything wrong with me or anything wrong with them.
Yeah.
It's simply they have no background.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people in this world that just don't know because they've never been taught.
Exactly.
They've never been instructed. They've never had any sense of use. You know? Well, if you had Sunday schools, they'd know more. No. No, their minds would be clouded with more garbage. They would probably know less.
Yeah.
You see, this party line boasting Paul's talking about here, it's all fleshly. It's all characteristics of the flesh, and it's a rebuke.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing that what Paul's all that, every time you brag on a man, you're just bragging on another sinner.
That's right. Yep.
And you may be bragging on somebody that's worse off than you are.
Yep.
In everyday respect, they may be worse off than you are. I'm not a preacher because I'm mature. I'm not a pastor because I'm mature. Now, Paul says they ought not be a novice, right?
Oh, yeah.
They ought not be. But I'm not the pastor because I'm mature. I'm a pastor because God put me here. I ain't got no other option other than to quit. And I can't do that. I'd like to. I'd like to retire. No, while Paul says, you see, when we conduct ourselves that way, when we brag about men, what are we doing? While we may have the Spirit, we're not conducting ourselves as though we have the Spirit.
Exactly.
Let me just try to sum it up this way. I listen, and this is, I don't mean this to boast, but I listen to CDs, preaching CDs, one right after the other. And some of them I listen to over and over again, and usually not every day, but almost. I mean, the vast majority. If I'm driving to work, I'm listening to a CD. If I'm driving home from work, I'm listening to a CD. To me, that's a whole lot better than anything else I can see or listen to in my vehicle. Now, am I more spiritual than anybody else? No. I want God's Word coming in to my soul. And it's not going to happen while I'm laying asleep in bed. It's not going to happen. You're not going to wake up one morning and understand Hebrews. It just don't happen that way. You've got to read. You've got to study. You've got to lay foundations. You've got to discuss these things. Mason, that's why we talk together. That's why we talk so we learn. But I listen to these things, and there are some men that I think to myself, man, it was hard to listen to that. You know that? I'm not used to that kind of preaching. And yet, if and when, David, I'm honest about the matter, when that man preaches the truth, I get something out of it.
Yes, sir.
Even though I might not particularly care for his style.
Yeah.
Even though I might not particularly care for his technique. And even though I might not always agree with all of his doctrine.
Yeah, that's true.
Huh? If Christ's person and work is still the central theme, and he's preaching that, I benefit from it.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are men that, I don't know how to say it any other way, but, you know, it being up to me, they're not going to stand here and preach to you. it just ain't gonna happen. Just I don't but I've benefited.
Oh yeah.
From hearing some of the things they've said.
Yes, sir.
I just don't want to have to fight with them on some of the other things they say.
Exactly.
If they stood here and said it.
Yeah.
Because I would. What they say when they're where they're at, that's their business.
Exactly.
What they say here, I'm accountable for as well.
Yep.
Now that's the difference.
Yep.
What they say there, they will give an account. That's what Paul, every one of these ministers you're bragging about, they're building on this foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And their works will be judged. It'll be tried by fire, every one of them.
Yep.
And the point is, when a man's out there, he's out there preaching, he's at his that church where God's put him, when he's there, that's between him and God and him and God alone.
Yes, sir.
But if he comes here, it's between him and God and me.
Yeah.
And that's just the fact of life, ain't it, David? Just the way it is. See, because if that doesn't matter, then I might as well have Lawrence Welk come preach to you if he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Wonderful.
Don't really matter. Couldn't God use him if he wanted to?
Sure.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now you say you're being stupid. No, I'm trying to make the point. It does matter. We never use God's sovereignty as an excuse
exactly.
for laziness or sin or indifference.
Exactly.
It ought to be an encouragement to do more.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It ought to be because God is sovereign.
Yes, sir.
Well, I can't attain to that. Yeah, you can. I don't think I could ever be that mature. You can be a whole lot mature than what you think you ever could be. You know, I look back at my stupid self when I was younger, walking up and down the streets of Princeton with a bunch of Arminian tracts in my hand, David trying to preach grace. Standing outside of church buildings, passing out tracts. You know what that is? Stupid. That's called stupid. And if you've never done that, be glad you didn't have to go through that stage. I'm serious. I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you call the vestiges of carnality with you.
Yes, sir.
It was.
Yeah.
Thinking, Mason, that through my effort, God's going to do something. And you know what God did? Made a bunch of people mad.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid hardened a bunch of people's hearts.
Yeah.
And that's his business too.
Oh.
But that doesn't justify me.
Exactly.
Hmm? That doesn't justify me. Father, I pray that as we part our ways, we may be mindful of one another. Those who were unable to be here, Lord, just comfort them. May they know that we were thinking of them just as we know they're persuaded that they were thinking of us. But may it all be around the central subject and theme of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask it in His name. Amen.